Guys, you know, I understand you. It's hard to be a man. Seriously. You know, it's almost like if you're a masculine guy, you're a jerk. You're this macho, you know. If you're a feminine man, then you're something else. And you know, first, it almost seems like women want a feminine guy. But then when we guys, you know, they want to snip. And then when the guys become feminine, the women are angry at them because they act like they're kids. And so what is it? So when we are rough and we are masculine and we are strong and we are a little bit controlling, we're bad. We're feminine and weak and gentle, and you don't like us like that either. So what is it? Listen, man. We cannot have women tell us what we're supposed to be. Especially not, and I'm going to say it, feminist women. The F word in church. We cannot have that happen. We have to go back to the source. We have to go back to the Bible to define what we're supposed to do. How many of you know when we're confused, our self-esteem goes down? A lot of men, self-esteem is over here, when it really, it's supposed to be over here. How can you be a leader if your self-esteem is over here? How can you fulfill your calling when you don't know who you're supposed to be? And today there's so many ideas and philosophies that you can't live by all of them. You will be confused. If I try to preach with an understanding mind of everybody, and, well, you have to understand his point of view. He was born this way. You have to understand Pastor Alex. You know, you have to understand his point of view. I would be so confused, I won't know what I stand for. So I have to go back to over here. In a lot of it, we hide behind love and grace, but really it's not love and grace. It's a whole bunch of philosophies, world philosophies mixed together, And then we're confused in our mind. God, listen, man, after today, you don't have to be confused anymore. You can know exactly what God created you for. My message is so simple today, anybody can understand it. If you didn't graduate from college or high school, you can still understand it. I'm going to talk about three simple points, what God created men to be. And let's go back to the Genesis chapter 2. Let's go chapter 1, okay? And when God created this world, he said this. Everything was good. He created trees, birds, fish, sunshine, everything. Then he said this in verse 26, chapter 1. Then God said, let us make men in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his image, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now let's go into chapter 2, verse 15. Well, we'll go back there later. So let's go into point number one. What did God create man for? If you been a Christian for a while, that's probably simple. But God has created men for relationship with him. Number one. When Adam was put on this earth, God made him so he can talk to him, so he can have a relationship with him. Before God gave Adam purpose, before God gave Adam a wife, he wanted to have a relationship with him. You know, in today's society, 21st century, there's general consensus that men don't want a relationship with God. Isn't it true? The general consensus is this, that when you're a boy, your mom drug you to church. When you married, your wife drug you to church. And in between, whatever happens in Vegas, stay in Vegas, type of moment. Okay? That's a general consensus. Boys will be boys, you know. Just have fun. Just go with it, flow with it, whatever. Do what feels good. But if you listen to the Bible, if you're a Christian, then you need to understand. Hey, John, that's you over there. All right, that's my friend, John. Sorry to put you on the spot, man. I just was thinking about you. Anyway. yeah. More man, yes. And messed myself up. We were created to worship God. And listen, before you had a wife to drag you to church, God created, before there was Eve in Adam's life, guess what? God created Adam to have a relationship with him. So listen, God wants to have a relationship with us, man. And a lot of us, we say, well, guys, we're not worshipers. We know women are emotional. You know, they like to cry, lift their hands, you know, hallelujah, shabba shabba, stuff like that. And, but we, man, we don't do that. We're rational. We are tough. You know, how can we lift hands? Well, you do when a football game is on. So you can lift your hands. You can jump up and say, yeah, go. You can bump chest to your buddy. Chest bump your body, whatever. You can do that. So listen, men are emotional too. And listen, guys, it's okay to be emotional for God. It's okay to get excited. You know what? Guys, we have a lot of emotions too. And the way we display them is through anger. We do. Come on. But you know what? Why not just get that anger out in worship of God? Why not just tell him exactly how your wife makes you feel? You know, or your girlfriend makes you feel. God, she drives me. Ah! And then go and smile. Hi, honey, I love you. We have a lot of emotions, man. We do. And God wants you to use those emotions in worshiping him. Listen, man, if we don't worship God, we will worship something that will destroy us. Everyone, you were created to worship. That's your number one purpose. Listen, ladies, if a man does not worship God, he's probably worshiping porn, lust, greed, pride. He's probably worshiping something. Be careful, women. If a man doesn't worship God, he will worship something. He will worship a bottle. He will worship a little reefer, a little weed. He will worship something. We were created, just like we were created to fulfill our physical need, we were created to fulfill our worship need. Yeah. If a man does not worship God, he worships something. And if he doesn't worship something, he worships himself. Have you ever seen people? I don't need God to give me any rules. I make my own rules. Well, by making your own rules, you made yourself a God. And when you make yourself God, God says there will be no other God before me. So guess what? By making yourself God, you made yourself an enemy to the true God. And when you are an enemy to true God, oh, you don't want to be. Bible says it's dreadful to fall into the hands of a living God. You don't want to have God mess with you. And I'm not scaring you. It's the truth. I'm not here to freak you out. That's what the Bible says. And we're here to listen to the Bible, not me or anything else. Okay? When a man does not worship God, which he was created for, then who is he accountable to? Let's say Tanya and I, we have a lot of arguments because she's really a passionate woman and I am a passionate guy. And when we argue and we disagree, where do we go for help? Christians, being Christians, we go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Amen. But if you're not Christian, who do you go to? She goes to a girlfriend who's probably, you know, generally speaking, she's based on statistics, she's probably divorced or, you know, hopping around with guys. She'll go to her and ask her for advice. What do you think I should do? And you know a girlfriend is not going to be wanting you to spend all your time with your husband, so she'll be like, leave the loser. You know, we see this all the time. When you have problems, who do you go to? When a man has problems, who does he go to? Does he go to a guy, his friend, who's having one night stands and who's changing girlfriends like underwear? I don't know. Who do you go to? You know what he's going to tell you. Come on, man. You know she's controlling you. You know she's trying to put you down, put you in your place. You know, who's wearing pants in your house? You know, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't go to that. When you know God and God hates divorce, then you go to the Bible and both of you read it, you get to the same conclusion. Amen. Imagine this, if you're a builder, and we have at least one builder in the house, imagine having two codes of two people are building a project, building a skyscraper. One is building it based on planning codes, or what are they called? Building codes, thank you. One is building on the building codes of the United States, and another one is building on the building codes of Mexico. What happens? You will have a lot of chaos and confusion. And eventually your house will be crooked or it will not be finished. Guys, God wants us to build based on one code. This book is His codes. It's not rules. You don't have to do it. But you should read it. Because after you read it and you do it your way, you know, usually we do it our way first. And then it doesn't work and we're like, okay, I'll do it your way. Okay, it works. This is a book of codes. This is a manual how to put something together. Amen. And guys, so listen, don't let anybody lie to you that it's women's religion. Christianity is women's religion. No, it's as manly as it could be. When God created man, when God created Adam, He wanted to have a relationship with Him. He wanted Adam to worship God. Because when Adam worshiped God, he wasn't going to worship other things. Amen? Women, when you're looking for a man to marry, make sure he worships God. Otherwise, who is he accountable to? Your house will have too much confusion. You will have a whole bunch of philosophies mixed together and you won't know what you believe. And then try raising children when you don't agree on faith. So try raising children when you don't know what church you're going to go to. Then guess what? Instead of going, you don't go. It's easier not to go. But remember, there's always going to be that void missing in your life. Man, imagine this. You have a sex drive, right? And when that's not fulfilled, what happens? You need prayer. Amen. You also have a God drive. When that's not fulfilled, you need prayer. Amen. You have a God drive, every person. Either you can shove it on a shelf somewhere and I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want anybody to bother me about it. I don't want to hear about it. Out of sight, out of mind. Or you can deal with it and you can talk about it. You can accept God into your life. Amen. Hallelujah. So women, be careful who you're dating. And guys, today is an opportunity to make God your love. God, the affection, use your affection to worship God. That's the number one step what you were created for. Out of relationship with God, your purpose comes alive. Your destiny comes alive. Out of relationship with God, your path, your life starts making sense. Out of relationship with God, He will protect you from many stupid decisions. There's so many benefits of having a relationship with God. And guys, do not pass it on to a woman. You were first. Just remember, guys, turn to a guy next to you and say, you were chosen first. Don't turn to a woman, turn to a guy. And say, you were chosen first. Amen. I just seen a woman slap her husband. Just boom. slapped her man. Sit down. When you have a problem, when you have a problem in your marriage, when you have a problem leading, you can always go to God and He'll show you how to do it right. So number one reason you were created for, out of three, is you have to have a relationship with God, personal. Not through a pastor, not through anybody else, your personal relationship with God. When God, listen to this guys, listen to this. Bible says that when God created Adam, He would meet with him in the cool of the day. That means in the early morning or late in the evening, when it was already, when the sun was down already, when it was still cool, when it was cool. So how do you have a relationship with God, man? You don't just listen to just one sermon a week. You open this Bible early in the morning and you read, even if it's one verse, and think about it. And ask God, what do you want to say to me through this verse? Not to my wife, not to my kids, not to my friends, but to me. And then you pray and you say, hey God, just imagine Adam being in a garden. And he's like, hey God, how you doing? So what am I supposed to do today? That's what Adam would ask God. And God would say, okay, there's this snake over there. He's walking yet. And he's like coming closer. You better, you know, put some protection. You know, he'll tell you what to do. Guys, if you spend time with God, he'll protect you from many bad decision, many stupid decision, will save you tons of time. He wants to talk to you. And listen, it's not so hard to listen to him. You'll know it. When you love somebody, you know it, right? When God talks to you, you know it. It's just, and kids can even understand it. I tell them stories from the Bible and then ask them, kids, listen, what is God trying to say to you? We're talking about Solomon and how he was a young king and he was asking God, and God says, ask me anything, Solomon. And Solomon says, give me wisdom. And God says, because you ask for wisdom and not riches, not glory, not money, not women, not anything, but wisdom, I will give you all those things. And my kid, and then I asked my kids, I said, kids, what is God trying to say to you through that? And Abby was like, I believe that God is trying to say, I think he's trying to say to me, she's careful not to say God is speaking to me or anything, but God is trying to tell me that I should ask for wisdom too. And it's like, even kids can understand it. You can read these stories and you can apply it to your life. You just have to spend 5 minutes before you get out of bed. Just open your phone app and just read it. Even if it's one, two verses, pray a few words. Ask him, God, I need you in my life. What do I do today? Guide my steps today. And he will do it. Man, God wants to talk with you. That's a good sermon already here. Number two, I gotta go and move quickly. Number two, you were created to do a job. Notice before you could have a wife, God gave Adam a job. Let's read this. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through just 15. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Let me read this translation. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Man called each... Okay, that's it. That's it. So, a man was created to do work. Listen, a car was created to do... to drive. If you buy a car and it's not driving, it's not fulfilling its purpose. A bird was created to... to fly. In the air. A fish was created not for a fish bowl, but for the lake, river, or sea, so he could swim for water. And the happiest a fish could ever be in the environment that God created it to be for. A fish that's in the tank is not truly happy. It's in a fake environment. So listen, man was created to have a job. Now, some of you are like, I'm too smart for that job. I'm too good for the job. Well, let me tell you this. Adam was the smartest man that ever lived, because before sin, he could use 100% of his brain. Correct? And yet, he was put in charge of taking care of the garden. He was a tree trimmer. Woo! All the tree trimmers say, you listening? And when we look at Jesus, who was created, who was the Son of God, who came to this earth, notice, he did not just sit around and did a lot of theological studies. Went to all the Pharisaical and Bible schools of the day. He just didn't do that. What did Jesus do? He was the son of carpenter. God, yeah, duh. He was the son of God, yes, but he was also a carpenter. He wasn't too low for him. And just today, carpentry is way better. We have tools. We have power tools. Yeah. Saws. We have everything. We have nail guns. In Jesus' day, there was nothing like that. I mean, it was some handmade stuff that you had to use to make a door, to make a table, to make chairs. But, so a lot of people think Jesus was, didn't touch anything. He was just walking in air all the time, in clouds. No, Jesus was a hardworking man. He had hands like, well, they're clean today. Last week you should have seen him. He was changing a clutch. He was, had black hands. Don't be racist now. Not racist, I just had black hands from oil. hey, come on, we're all children of God. All colors are awesome. We want, this is what I dreamed of, that our church would be so mixed, all nations. And my dream is coming to pass. And you know, we have leadership, diverse leadership in this church, so we're good. We're good. And so, you guys, man, were created for a job. But how many of you know you don't start at the job you were created for right away? Sometimes you start at McDonald's. Sometimes I started washing dishes when I was 14 years old. I lied to my age and got a job washing dishes. And I was the best dishwasher there was for a year and a half. Crazy. You think I started in business right away. No, there was some hints of businessman in me, you know, in the past. But I started working hard. You don't start where you want to be. You know, Bible says, I will make you the head, not the tail. Well, guess where you start? Everybody thinks God is going to give me this head job. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be the manager. I'm going to be the businessman, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. If you talk too, much. Listen, you start at the bottom. And God trains you. And you know, a lot of men today, confused, don't know. I want to be a movie star. And if I can't get that, I won't do anything. I'll be sleeping in my pajamas, Star Wars pajamas, in my mom's basement, listening and smoking to weed. And that's not what you were created for. And listen, when a man, when a fish is out of water, it's not fulfilled. It's suffocating. When a man is without job, he is suffocating. And listen, men don't like to be without job. So if you don't get a good job, you'll get a crime job. You start selling things. And I heard from a lot of you who used to do that, who used to sell. One guy said, I sold for 24 hours straight. I'm like, if you did that in a car lot, or in Sears, or in, you know, anywhere, in any sales job, or on the phone, man, you'd be rich right now. And you didn't have to go to jail. And you have peace. And you feel fulfilled. Listen, guys, we were created to have a job. A man who doesn't have a job is unfulfilled, has too much time, and idle hands is devil's playground. So if you don't work with your hands doing something productive, you will steal, you will eventually kill and destroy. You were, man, listen to me. We were created to have a job. But Don't get fooled thinking that if I can't have a basketball career, a football career, if I can be a movie star, if I can be a rapper, if I can be a Eminem. No, I'm talking about Eminem. I'm talking about Eminem. If I can be that, I won't work. Listen, when God said, get a job, when God says here that you were created to work, He knows where you get more pleasure. He knows where you'd be satisfied. I come home from work, I don't need drugs because I feel good. Seriously. Man, isn't it true? When you go work hard and you become successful at your job and you're the best you could be, it's like a drug. Seriously. Women, you know this too. You feel good. Make a deal. Close the deal. You come home, baby, let's celebrate. Red Lobster, here we come. Yeah, we'll stop at Starbucks. Amen. So, man, we are fulfilled. And a lot of men, I've seen this, a lot of guys grew up without a father today. And so they never really grew up. You know, over the last 15 years, I had to hire a lot of men. And what I noticed, that most of them didn't have a father figure in their life. I would get so mad because the guy couldn't hold a rake. Seriously. A guy couldn't hold a rake, and I'm like, where's your dad? What did he teach you? And I would get so mad, and then later, you know what? I would be like, God, why did you bring him into my job? What do you want me to do? And God says, just shut up and be patient and train him. And train him. They did. And later I found out the pattern was they didn't have a dad in their life. And so a lot of boys never grow up. Women never marry a man who's a boy still. Because boys want toys. Thank you. Boys want toys. And then you'll be yelling at him, you're spending too much money. And then he'll be feeling resentful towards you because that's all you'll be. And yeah, and then you'll become his mama and he'll resent you and he'll look for a girlfriend. Because you're his mom. I gotta be nice. I gotta be nice. But can I be real for at least once? Just today, okay. You were created to be a leader of your home. Do you remember when Eve messed up and ate from the fruit and gave it to Adam? God didn't come to Eve and said, hey Eve, what'd you do? God went directly to Adam. He said, what did you do? You're responsible. You're responsible for your family. A lot of guys, and you know, the message is not going to be liked by two types of people. Feminists will not like my message. They'll hate me for this. But we don't have them here. Hallelujah. We have ladies. And lazy man. Lazy man won't like this message either. Yeah, because it's just God created you. And the difference between a boy and a man is that boy, my son, sometimes he has a four-wheeler. And he writes on landscaping. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'm not going to yell at you for writing on landscaping. But the rocks fall out. So I'm like, hey, listen. I need you to go pick up the rocks and throw them back in landscaping. It's like 20 little pebbles, you know. Just throw them in there. And he'll pick up two. I did it, Dad. I'm like, what about there? And he just doesn't see it. The thing about boys is they have short span of attention span, they have short perseverance ability. Right. Well, what's the difference about man that a man could do longer? And as he's been growing up, he's doing way better. He's picking four rocks, then six rocks, then 10 rocks, and it's growing. Eventually, he'll do all of them. Eventually, he'll throw them all in. Paul said this, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And girls, yes, those boys that you're dating could be fun. But listen, but you want a man. You don't want a boy. But only good men. Promoting your son, huh? You should sing that song. I gotta move. I gotta go quicker. You, ladies, you don't want to marry a boy. Now, if you already married a boy, guys, if you are that boy, that's why you got to come here so I can tell you this stuff. Women, never preach this message. Never. To your husbands. Never. That's my job. The guys will hate you. Your man will dislike you. A lot. Thank you for that. This is the pastor's job to do. And just like guys, you don't have to remind women that they should respect you, or they should, you know, have you ever seen a man who says, "You need to respect me. You need to respect me. You need to respect me." It's like, do something and I'll respect you, you know? Respect is earned. Fear is gained, right? But respect is earned. You can only make me fear you, but you can never make me respect you, you know, by fear. Only by you taking responsibility. Man, if you want your wives to respect you, you need to be provider. You need to be provider. If she's paying the bills and you're a boy, you're acting like her son, of course she's not going to respect you. Of course she's going to tell you what to do. But it's not her job. Biblically speaking, it's your job to provide and protect your family. Women do love men to make them secure. Women want to be secure. Women want to be secure. They want you to provide for them. They will respect you. They will love you. Another thing, when a crisis arises, don't just say, "God is going to do it." You stand up and get it done. A lot of men are so spiritual. "I'm just going to pray God is going to take care of the problem." And then a woman ends up taking care of the problem always. Shut up. Don't use God in this situation. You go and fix it. And watch, your woman will kiss you at night. She'll come in and just say, "Come here, baby. I love you so much. Thank you. You make me feel so secure. I felt like I didn't have to worry because I knew you got it." And I've heard from women who said, "My husband will take care of it. I know it." So guys, when a crisis rises up, when there's a problem, I don't know if a tire blows up, go fix it. I don't know what to do. Don't send her. And then she'll be running. She'll be like, "I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll show you." She'll fix it, but she'll not respect you for it. She won't respect you for it. Am I being too hard on man? Am I going to get nasty letters? Am I good? Am I okay? Tanya, I'm good. Okay. Hallelujah. Next thing about the job, guys, and I might not finish this, so we won't get to the last part. So we'll finish on point two. I can't pack it in. I got it. And the next thing, guys, it's your job to have a job. Statistically speaking, every person in our 21st century will probably have a job every 2 to 3 years, 4 years, they'll switch a job. So you will lose your job. You will quit your job. You will not like your boss, and notice job is where God trains you from boy to man. You do. You become more stable at your job and things like that. God uses a job. Sometimes God will just, like, you know how eagles have babies, and babies get so big, their mama start throwing them out before they can even fly. Sometimes if you don't change jobs, God will, because remember, you start at the tail, and you work yourself up to the head. Amen. God doesn't want you to stay being a tail, but I love my job, I love my coworkers, it's so much fun, we don't have much work, but it's all cool. Listen, as a man, it's your job to predict trends. If your job is going nowhere, if it's going to be outsourced to China or India, you need to think ahead. What's going to happen to my family when I lose my job? Oh, don't worry. God will take care of it. God uses you. God uses wisdom. Wisdom is everything. It's part of faith. It's like a coin that has two sides. One side is God will take care of me, but second side is wisdom. Love needs wisdom. Faith needs wisdom. Relationships needs wisdom. Listen, guys, you have to predict. You know you're going to lose your job someday, or maybe the job is going nowhere. Start looking for a new one. It's your responsibility. People will lose jobs. Let me show you something, guys. Ecclesiastes. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 11:2. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Almost done here. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Now, Bible says, don't just have a job. Go home and drink beer at night. Or, no, I'm not going to go there. Start thinking. It's, man, if we want to be leaders, we want to gain respect of our women. We want to always think ahead. Okay, maybe my job is not going anywhere. Maybe I feel like I'm going to lose my job. Okay, I got to start looking. Or maybe my company is running out of business. Maybe I need to get out before the ship sinks and I go down with it. You got to think of your family. And God says, listen, invest into different things. Don't put your eggs in one basket. Listen, invest in 7 ventures. Have opportunities in your mind. Say, okay, if I ever lose a job, I know I can go and get a job here. Always. So my family does not starve. So that my wife does not feel insecure. That's biblical. That's wisdom. I know, guys, the culture says, just do your job, go home, and be a boy. No, no, no. God says, invest into things. Maybe you can invest in something. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you can be a businessman on the side. And maybe your business can take off. And you can leave it and do something else. Don't just... Life is not all, you know, how you see it on TV. You will lose jobs. Your boss might not like you, or you made a mistake. And then what do? Right? Next scripture. Let's put the next scripture up. 11:6. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening, let your hand not be idle. Listen to what Bible says. You don't just go home after work and just... Don't let your hand be idle in the evening. Man, it's our job to think ahead. 3-4 steps ahead. Because Bible says you don't know what evil day will come. But when you have your seed sown in many different areas, let's read this. Sow your seed in the morning, and at the evening, let your hands do not be idle. You understand what seed means, right? Invest. Invest money into things. Live on leftovers. That's my... Live on leftovers. Invest your money. Invest your seed. A farmer gets a bag of seed. He doesn't eat it first, and then what's left, he sows. No, he sows first, then he leaves enough for himself and his family. A lot of us, a lot of young people, a lot of families get break up because a husband lost the job and didn't have a backup plan. Guys, it's so important. I know I'm being serious. I know this is serious stuff. But I'm tired seeing men lose their families. I didn't like my job, so I quit. Don't quit a job before you get another job. I was working too many hours. No, you weren't. Anyway. For you do not know which will succeed. Meaning you sow 7 or 8. You invest 7 or 8 areas because you don't know which one will succeed. Whether this one or that one. Or whether both will be equally well. So you be smart. Don't just live for today. Always think ahead. As a Christian, we're supposed to think ahead. You think of your salvation. You know, a lot of people say, I don't want to think about what happens after I die. You do. So you have an ability to think ahead. Now, let's just not be lazy. Let's just think a few steps ahead. We can't predict everything. The Bible says some ventures will go broke, but not all of them. But not all of them, and some will produce harvest. Amen. Bible says a man who does not work should not even eat. Oh, you don't follow that scripture. I can't find a job because I don't know what I like to do. Well, then don't eat. You'll find a job quick. You say, I won't eat till I get a job. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to job quick because you know you love your food. You know you love your chicken or steak. Oh. Baba gum shrimp. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian and you use it, God will take care of us. Don't worry. That's not what it says. It's when you work, you don't have to stress out and worry. But you still have to work. That's your assignment number two. Your assignment number two is to work. Amen. Ten Commandments, what do they say? 6 days you shall work. Oh, Jesus. I know what he meant. 6 days you shall work. On the seventh day you shall rest. 7 days for the Lord. Jesus said, my Father works and I work. God works today. God is not a lazy God sitting on the throne eating, getting big. No, he's working. He's working out your salvation. He's helping you. He's involved in your life. God wants you to be the head, man, and not the tail. But you don't start at the head. You start at least in the middle. But you never start at the head because you can't handle the head. You start in the tail. You make your way up to the head. And God says, I will make you the head and not the tail. He loves you. If you got my job today, you'd go crazy. I would too if I did it 15 years ago. If I had all the responsibilities I have today. But now I'm able to handle them because God will mature you. He will grow you. And people will ask you, how do you do this? I don't know. The capacity. He just expands your capacity. If you allow him to mold you. 1 minute left. Proverbs 12:11. Let's put that on the screen. Those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies have no sense. Let's read it again together. Those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies have no sense. Now, it's okay to have dreams. It's perfectly normal. But don't quit your day job. Not unless you have an investor. Not unless you have a sponsor. Yeah. Notice, Jesus didn't quit his day job because he was going to be a son of God someday. He worked what? He worked being a carpenter. When that time came, he switched. And that's it. Amen. Some of you, I got to be in ministry. That's why I don't work. And what are you going to tell people? You won't even understand what struggles they have. You're going to tell them a whole bunch of theological nonsense. Nobody wants to hear that. This is real life, people. Lazy hands make for poverty. But diligent hands bring wealth. Work hard. Hands. Amen. One more scripture. Ephesians 4:28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. God doesn't want you to be in need. God wants you to give to those who are in need. That's what God wants you to do. Man, there's a great responsibility, but it's also fulfilling responsibility. Man, how many of you agree what I'm saying? Hallelujah. We have Brett over here. He's in a wheelchair. Listen, he could say, I don't need to work. He has a business. He's a businessman. He writes emails. He does business online. The guy makes money. He goes, does speaking engagement, and you got hands, feet that are working properly, and you say you can't do it? Listen, God says you can do it. God says you can do it. And God says, if today you make a decision, I will bless it. And I will bless the work of the hand, of your hand. And I will multiply. And I will give you opportunities. And you will feel confident again. The devil has been beating you up. But God says he loves you. He has a plan for you. You're not a mistake. You're here for a reason. You heard this message for a reason. You can either get mad or you can change. The truth can change you or can get you mad. That's right. It can get you mad or set you free. The third one was, the third purpose, he brought Eve to him and he said, marry her. Some of you need to marry the Eve that he brought to you. Who's your Eve? Marry her. Raise godly children. Protect your children. Make sure, don't let your children go to everybody's house to sleep over. Can't trust people. So much molestation happens. You are to be the protector. And if you're in front of TV, you can't protect them. If you want to get rid of them, just get out of my face. You can't protect them. Fathers, we're supposed to protect our little girls. And there's no greater blessing than to have a little girl. Sons are great, but daughters are cool. Awesome. My daughter just talks a lot. She's so sharp on her tongue. I tell her she probably will be the preacher in the family. I don't know. So purpose number one, guys, what is it? Worship God. Have a relationship with God. Purpose number two. Get a job. Work hard. Boys, quit things. Men, persevere. Number three. Marry your wife and love her. Marry your Eve and love her. Raise godly children. Protect your family. Provide for their family. Put your hands together and bless God.